Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
I hated it. I cannot believe that game was stopped, a confirmed catch, no catch in that moment. That's all I'm going to say. It was an embarrassment.
All right, Pony and Mueller. We'll talk to Aditi Kinkabwala, who works for NFL Network, about that play and more at 4 o'clock. More of your phone calls coming up, too, at 412-928-9370. Leave it to Tomlin to freak out, I think, over minutia. Right? I mean, the mechanics of everything in the process, absolutely flawed.
Oh, the whole thing was a mess on the official's part, but, like, who cares? Because here's what would have happened.
That's the hill he's going to die on? It's the same thing.
It's a stupid hill to die on. It really is. Here's the most charitable thing I can say. It actually, the way things went down, first, it should never have been reviewed. It was an obvious catch. I don't know what the hell was going on there. They screwed that up. That whole officiating crew should absolutely, and the people up in the booth at the Nerve Center, should absolutely be reprimanded for the way that went down. However, if anything, that might have made it more difficult on Seattle for this reason. It was very obvious to anybody who doesn't have black and gold, who isn't sitting next to Steelers Pope, that game was going to have...
It's the second mention on today's show.
I know. That game was going to have 1 second placed on the clock because NBC even showed it up close. Mm-hmm. Ball hits ground, 1 second on clock. That game was going to quickly have 1 second be reestablished on the clock, and Jason Myers was going to come out, and he was going to kick that very same field goal. If anything, that entire laborious stoppage made it more difficult on Seattle for two reasons. One, they had to actually go on the whistle, spike it again, mm-hmm. when anything can happen. And by the way, that little Steelers stem move, if you want to get real mad about something, watch that play real closely. They got a Seattle lineman to jump incrementally.
But I don't think Tomlin was mad about
that. No, he wasn't. He wasn't. If anything, though, I would argue that lengthy delay where I think everybody in the building knew it was going to still end up in a field goal attempt for Seattle, if anything, mm-hmm. it ices the kicker and makes them think about it more.
It's replay at its worst because you're reviewing something that shouldn't be reviewed and it takes forever and it sucks the life out of a dramatic ending. But nothing changed. You're right. Whether they reviewed it or not, there was going to be 1 second left on the clock for a field goal try. So of all the things for Tomlin to freak out about and flip out about and say beforehand, according to reporters, I'll live with the fine.
I don't get it, man.
I mean, there have been times where he could have come out against officials in a way to, like, protect a player.
And like, he doesn't. He doesn't say
like
anything.
Like a player safety thing.
Yep. He doesn't say anything.
So why this? It's such a Because it's such a in the weeds football minutia. Like football, you got to be a football geek to
I'm
obsess
mad you,
over something
I'm mad
like
you
this.
Needed to stop the game to make this obvious call, like something that never should have been reviewed in the first place. Who cares?
Yeah.
The first time in Mike Tomlin's life he's ever cared about clock management. What?
That was a good line.
I was going to say, I was inspired by you.
I think the best thing to happen to Mike Tomlin yesterday is that Pete Carroll was coaching without Russell Wilson. I think that's
Pete
what
Carroll was
him.
Coaching left-handed and with I the, mean, or right, yeah, left-handed and
think
with
about,
that hand tied
think about
his back.
This from Tomlin. We actually had a report. You almost never get this in an NFL game. Sideline reporters providing information that shape your opinion of what you're watching. We had a sideline reporter talk to Pete Carroll and Mike Tomlin at halftime. What did Tomlin say? They're going to come out and want to throw the ball deep to Lockett and Metcalf. What did Carroll say? We're going to come out and run the ball. Tomlin, a defensive mastermind, and I've given him credit for some great defensive game plans and execution like the Buffalo game. Tomlin was wrong. Like Tomlin's, I'm guessing then, not that like huge adjustments get made at halftime, but what he was telling his assistant coaches,
they're going to go bombs away.
And what he was telling his defensive players was completely wrong.
And it actually bore itself out on that very first Seattle drive. Collinsworth, who had much better moments on this drive, kept pointing out they're in too high. They are not bringing a safety down in the box. They're getting gashed. They're still keeping the safeties back. Like he kept waiting for Pete Carroll to call the whoop. Shane Waldron, the OC over there. Whoop.
So instead, they just let Alex Collins get 9 and 10 yards a clip.
Which in a
because
sort of,
Devin Bush can't make a routine tackle.
But which in a sort of tangible way is worse than getting beat by a quick strike. Wouldn't you agree? Because your defense is getting gassed having to constantly defend it. And I think the other team, when a team moves the ball the way Seattle did in that third quarter, they are gaining the kind of confidence that cannot be gotten just by one quick lightning strike down the field. We've seen it with the Steelers when they've occasionally done that.
One thing I'm not going to do with the Steelers getting back to 3-3, I'm not going to pat Tomlin on the back yet. And you might say that's like my anti-Tomlin rhetoric. To me, they've played well in two games.
I've got a letter grade for him. He's got a C, which is what they've got, 3-3.
And I think he was outstanding against the Bills. They were much better against Denver. He was right. They carried some things from the Green Bay game in a loss and applied them better in the Denver game, and it was probably their most complete game. And I think in four games, they've lost two at home. They
think about that
got
Bengals,
blown out by Cincinnati.
Think about that Bengals game at the end of the first half. They called a timeout to set up a goal line play. Remember?
Yep.
Going in. And then the Bengals had tons of time left. He gets asked about that after the game and I think on Tuesday. And what does he say? Nothing.
Yep.
I don't even remember that.
He let Jamar Chase beat James Pierre. He had an unproven corner one-on-one with a great rookie wide receiver.
With time on the clock that shouldn't have been there.
He lived in his fears in the Raiders game and punted. I mean, I hope, and I have not heard this yet, but I hope one of the things that isn't being written by our great local columnists over at places like the Beaver County Times and locally here on TV is not give Mike Tomlin credit for at 1-3 this team could have packed it in and they somehow have managed to get back to 3-3. Come on.
I mean, it would belie the fact that many of the same people who would be giving him credit for that would have suggested to you that they would have been with a Buffalo win under their belts, very possibly 3-0 heading to Green Bay.
Fan Hotline is brought to you by the workers' compensation law firm of Holland Capitis. Here, or no, it's not. I'm going to dump that because I got the sponsor wrong. That happens every once in a while. Give it a few seconds here. Craig, anything you want to say that won't go out over the airwaves, but all our people on hold and our other audience might hear?
I think it's going to go out over the air by now, Craig.
Yeah, we're good.
Okay. The Fan Hotline is presented by Nemacolin. Around every corner, Nemacolin creates real-life magic for guests.
And that was some real-life magic right there between the two of you.
Here is our good buddy Jeff on the Fan. Hello, Jeff.
Guys, how are you?
Hey, man.
What's up?
Hey. So, yes, I'm disappointed in the performance, even though they won. And what makes it even more confusing is the fact that they could end up with a 5-game winning streak by the end of the Lions game. But mainly, I have two takeaways after last night. One, we do not have a great defense. We have two great players, maybe even all-time great players.
Watt and Hayward.
Yep. Yeah.
I think you have a third really good one in Highsmith. I think Highsmith.
Well, that was his first great game, though.
Yeah, but he's been more of an injury worry for me than when he's healthy and out there, he's going to perform.
I'll give you that. What else, Jeff?
And, I mean, the middle linebacker whiffing on tackles like Deion Sanders, that's disheartening. I called after week two when they lost to the Raiders, and I said that I was disappointed in the defense in that game, and you guys disagreed with me and gave them a pass. Is anybody giving them a pass anymore?
Not after that.
I think we only probably did that because we both like Carr more than maybe most people do as a quarterback. But there's
no excuse. Because the offense was incompetent at that point.
That too. I think Carr's a pretty decent player. But I think that was an embarrassment, Jeff, last night. I mean, Pony said it best. Anytime Geno Smith dropped back and was very clearly readying cocking his arm to throw, you were like, yes, big win coming up here for the defense.
Right. All right.
Dude, this...
This what? Sucks?
It does, man. And I don't think it's just like our callers are influenced by our takes and then they kind of get sucked into that. I think that for all, you know what's another truism of yours being proven correct? You always tell me, Chris, Twitter, not real life. And I think on Twitter, a lot of the people that might have responded to us, hey, a win is a win, guys. But I think if you're I'm getting texts from my family. I don't know who you get texts from during the games. You know, your buddies, whoever. I'm getting texts from
porn star that lives in our neighborhood. Just kidding. Amanda, that's a joke.
You dumping that one too?
Nah.
I'm getting texts from family members just fuming the entire game at how pissed off they are by the performance. And I think the average Joe Steeler fan and Jane Steeler fan see the team they're playing, specifically with the quarterback in there, and cannot work themselves up into positivity.
The offense had one great quarter, the second quarter, where everything clicked. They were balanced run pass. Freiermuth, Ben hit some throws. They look good. They used some of the Matt Canada stuff. They scored touchdowns, like the Ebron play, using that. Then the offense only scored a field goal in the second half. Claypool looked like dog crap after two consecutive good games, trying to fill Juju shoes. The defense was pretty good in the first half, awful in the third quarter, and needed to make great individual plays late. I give the Steelers credit for breaking their rule in giving TJ Watt guaranteed money so we can watch plays like that and not have the looming sense of dread that he's going to have to get franchise tagged and isn't going to be here long term. So in that way, I find a silver lining in that. But a game against Geno Smith and the worst defense in the NFL should not come down to a coin flip where Russell Wilson's out there in a cast doing his usual, like, let's go get him guys routine after he spent 15 minutes before the game going through a simulated fake game where he was huddling and acting like he was like an only child like I was until my brother was born in my backyard as a six-year-old playing a game of football by myself
where
I would throw
team.
The ball in the air high and then I would run and catch it myself. That happened.
I'm surprised he didn't do like a fake celebration of a touchdown with his teammates. Like,
I think he kind of did. He was like pumping his fist when
he threw
you're
right, actually.
He's like, yeah,
God,
yeah.
What is...
Let's go! We got this, ghost man!
Yeah, he's... Dude, he is definitely
He is corny, corny, corny.
That's
but
the
he's
best.
Also very, very
I was
going
to say, he's awesome, but that is... That's exponentially worse than the Dak hips thing. Or the Jameis hips thing, I'm sorry. Dak
no, it's
does
Dak.
It too. Well, Jameis does it too, though, does he not?
Jameis,
yes,
like, eats W's.
And he eats W's. Doesn't Jameis, though, do the same kind of goofy thing, Craig, that
Jameis
Dak does?
Jameis does weird workouts.
Yeah.
That's his thing.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Dax is on the field. Jameis is in the weight room. I'm going to say this. As bad as both of those are and eating W's was by Jameis,
yeah.
The Russell Wilson thing, I think, sits alone on the throne. The lamest, corniest thing I have ever
fake
seen a player.
Where he claps and comes
the
out
The only guy that he even has a challenge from, and as far as like the corniest NFL player of all time, or my lifetime, is Tim Tebow. I mean, there's nobody else that's even in the team picture.
Jimmy is next. Hello, Jimmy.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, man.
Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
I think that the most positive aspect of the game last night, I don't know, maybe it's just my perspective, is everybody's ripping this team because they were gashing us with the running game, but you know, you got to ask yourself with Seattle, the two most dangerous weapons, Lockett, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Metcalf, how many touchdowns did they get?
Well, aren't they neutralized by the fact that they have a USFL or XFL quarterback at the helm in that game?
Well, here's the deal. Wouldn't you rather Seattle try to beat you with Geno and the run versus getting torched like we did against the Raiders?
I don't know about you. Every time I saw Geno look like he was going to attempt to pass, I was giddy on my couch.
Yeah, I would argue, too, that you say, would you rather death by a thousand cuts or like the big play? Well, not only do you get excited when Geno's throwing because he's bad at throwing, but every time he drops back to pass and doesn't hand it off is a chance for TJ Watt or Cam Hayward to really impact the game with a pass rush.
You know what it reminded me of? One of the things that gets brought up in Larry Fitzgerald's career is that desert he was in, figuratively, after Kurt Warner retired and they couldn't find a quarterback for him in Arizona, and it's like adds to his legend, the numbers that he was still able to put up.
Yeah.
Wide receivers can't throw the ball to themselves. That's what I was thinking watching that game.
Mm-hmm.
If Russell Wilson is in there, they're throwing the ball 40 yards downfield. It looks like a Presley Harvin punt, and it's just landing in Metcalf's hands for like 55-yard gains against, you know, Arthur Mollett in coverage and Terrell Edmonds. Seriously. Here's Nick on the fan. Hello, Nick.
I got one for you in here. We all laughed when Ryan Switzer was the slot receiver, and obviously he wasn't that good, but I compared his stats to Ray McLeod. He averaged 7 yards per catch the year they used him a lot. McLeod used it averaging 5, and punt returns, they both average 8.3. I don't know what this McLeod brings.
I don't either. Thank you, Nick. I was watching that same thing last night. I got all these technical football people telling me you need to play McLeod in the slot because other guys can't. So you're voluntarily putting a inferior offensive lineup out there in the name of like puzzle pieces fitting together? Does anyone objectively other than the Steelers think that McLeod is a better wide receiver than Washington? And no. I'm not even a big Washington guy. That game last night was proof positive that's why he requested a trade, because of junk like
their
that.
Their problem is their best guy when Juju's not around to play slot is also their best overall receiver and is better served to be outside, which is Deontay Johnson. Or else you'd put him in the slot, you tell James Washington that you're going to play outside opposite Claypool and run the deeper stuff, and then you'd have a way more dynamic talent there. Ray McLeod, man, honestly, I got to give the caller credit there, because if Switzer catches that little pass on 3rd and 3 and gets absolutely stuffed.
Oh, we're going nuts.
Yeah, I'm making fun of him. I'm saying, oh, once again, Ryan Switzer can't shake anybody at this level.
Do you
guys
notice
fair, though.
On 3rd down, it's 3rd and 8 and they throw it 4 yards. And then when it's 3rd and 2, Ben reaches back and throws it 40.
Bombs, yeah.
Does that make any sense to anyone?
The only prism through which you can view that and it makes sense is if it's 3rd and 2 and you think that in their minds they're going for it if they don't get it, which they usually don't. That's what pisses me off about it. If they don't, if they plan on going for it, if they don't get it, then it makes sense. But the rest of it, it's exactly what you said. It's completely infuriating.
John is on the fan. Hello, John. John?
Hi, how are you doing?
Hey, man. Go ahead.
I'm here. Hey, I don't want to do on a defense, but one problem I have is they don't make adjustments. Pete Carroll did, and it worked. But on offense, I have 4 points. I'll say them, and you can respond.
Let's go.
Rapid fire.
All right. No play action.
Ben hates
it. He's never under center.
Doesn't like
that
either.
There's rarely any movement or any before the pass.
Okay.
And he doesn't audible anymore.
Thank you.
I think we've been reading that a few weeks now. It's funny. It's funny.
Did you see the graphic? They're 31st in play action, up from dead last
for
the last 5 years.
I saw Warren Sharp tweet that out, and I think you retweeted it and said improvement. Was that how he labeled it?
I mean, every time I see Ben under center before the play, like my jaw hits the floor. I'm like, whoa. He's actually under
center.
That
is a limiting factor. I mean, that's part of it. He doesn't want to do it, and it's very clear that they're going to have some of Canada's principles in play, but they're not going to do things regularly that make him uncomfortable.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.